sex matters, period.
What?
Really?
What?
I'm Judy.
I'm Patricia.
And this is the Sex Matters Podcast. Hey, this is Judy. Just a quick program note. This is, as you may have guessed by the title, part two of our prostate discussion. Lots of great ideas if you need to have sex without penetration. That goes for prostate issues as well as if there's something else going on. And a disclaimer, this podcast is for information purposes only. So please, if you are having pain or blood in your urine, etc., please make sure that you do check with your doctor and make sure whatever you're doing is safe for you. Welcome to the middle of our conversation where we're starting off just a little bit before we left off with my very silly Bill Clinton impression.
In my recollection, nobody said to Bill Clinton, you know, so what does sex mean to you? What does having sex mean to you? And because I think that's sometimes a bigger and a more interesting
qualifier.
Yeah, exactly. Qualifier. Because if he has some division of going, you know, no, I didn't do that with anybody else but Hillary because Hillary's my girl. Well, you know.
Your impersonation is great. Oh my gosh. So fun.
So, you know, it's like those questions, I think, are very helpful in being answered in when people cross lines, when people are in relationships, when people are getting into relationships. Those are such big questions that we don't, you know, where did you get your definition of sex from? And, you know, my definition of sex has expanded over my lifetime. Mm. And, you know, and I, just because, again, as a little kid, you learn penis, vagina sex, and then you learn that there's way more going on than that.
Well, you know, I was just writing a blog about this, and it's like sex ed for adults. Like, we almost need to go through sex ed all over again, because we were taught in fourth grade as boys and girls separated in different classes to make it non-offensive, or I was. I don't know how they're teaching it nowadays, but we were taught about the anatomy. We were taught about the act of sex. There was no diversity and inclusion at that time. Mm-hmm. So people of my generation and older have been taught that sex is only one way. Mm-hmm. And through our experiences, through our own curiosities, if we have them, we've expanded. So like you and me, we expand our frame of reference. But for people who don't have the drive to be risk takers, or the drive to explore and be curious, or the people who are stuck in limiting beliefs and fears of, oh my gosh, I can't do that, I'll go to hell, or something like that, you know, their lives are a completely different narrative. They have a completely different filter on their life than someone like you and me, who have more of the ability to see sex as being everywhere, and sex matters, you know, it just matters, period, which is why we call this podcast what we did. So it's kind of fun to be able to open people's eyes without having to put their nose in it or something like that. Out of curiosity, if they're just listening and they find this stuff interesting, maybe it's just enough to get them to stretch the rubber band, to think outside of themselves a little bit more, and to see the amazing fulfillment and satisfaction that can come from sex in different forms. So, well, I just want to touch on some of these sex without penetration that I have, because it's super duper cool. And I'm going to tell you, there's a couple of them that I found to be incredibly intimate and amazing in my 40s that I didn't, you know, like the idea of mutual masturbation. So if you're together and you're not going to actually have sex because sex is painful, or there's erectile dysfunction. So this is for man and woman. If either one of you is not able to have sex, the penetration sex, vagina, penis sex, that you can share a sexual experience together through mutual masturbation. Through a lot of research that I've read, especially most men state that they achieve harder ejaculations and better satisfaction through stroking themselves off than having somebody else do it to or for them. Mm-hmm. So the best way for a man to engage his woman in some sort of way through masturbation is either mutual masturbation, where both people are satisfying themselves but maintaining eye contact, or talking to each other about how hot it is that they're, you know, where they're touching, or, oh my gosh, you know, I love that you feel comfortable enough to touch yourself in front of me, or, you know, those kind of like intimate things. Because one, for men, it's a real visual turn on. Men are really wired visually and flat out. That's why a lot of marketing has tits and ass all over it. Mm-hmm. You help to increase each other's confidence because there's a layer of trust there. It's a increased intimacy through self-revelation and through vulnerability, because it's kind of vulnerable to stand there and be whacking yourself off and have somebody else judging you while you do it. Mm-hmm. So there can't be judgment in that zone. It needs to be a place of trust, and that fosters intimacy. So that's really, really important stuff. And then if you do want your girl to be, you know, giving you a hand job or a blow job or something, she's been watching you satisfy yourself. So she knows what kind of pressure you like. She knows what you do to get yourself there. So it might stimulate her thinking to be like, oh, this is where he focuses. You know, he really likes when he does this. So I'm going to try and mimic that. Mm-hmm. So it's it's an education. It's almost an educational thing.
Right. And that goes both ways.
Yeah, right. And with women, we're so difficult sometimes for a guy to figure out, because there's so much to navigate down there, you know, the folds and the everything. So when a man sees, like, sometimes women really like a lot of pressure. Sometimes women are really sensitive and they just want it to be super light. Well, unless a guy sees you pleasing yourself, and if you're not a communicative person, you're not able to communicate that effectively by watching you. If he's an attentive lover and you're engaged in that full circle, wanting to have a sexual experience together, that is a key place for him to learn tremendous amount of information about you and for you to learn about him.
And so if you can communicate verbally, because sometimes it's somebody else can, you know, when you're relaxed and you're not in charge, somebody else can please you in ways that you might not typically please yourself.
Right.
And for them to understand, you know, if the answer is, well, but you do it this way, but no, but I really do like it this other way.
When you do it. Yeah. There's so much communication.
Right. Exactly. And women have so many, you know, so many discomforts that women have been given culturally around their vulva and their vagina. And, you know, I mean, I assume you've seen the vagina monologues, or at least read it, heard it. Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. So the story about the woman who goes on the date and the guy comes home and he just wants to look at her. And she's like, why in the world would you want to do that? Right. And he's getting lost in her vulva, you know, this piece of art that he's thoroughly enjoying, and her relaxing into that. Right. And, you know, being able to communicate and to find out that is something that person enjoys, or that that's how they want to learn about you and your body. Mm-hmm. And to let that be, and to have it be a good experience, and to taking judgment out of it too, is, yeah, it's a huge thing to navigate our discomforts and not have judgment and come back with a discomfort to break that barrier, but to keep that communication open is really challenging.
Well, I think that's where the trust comes in. Like, mm-hmm. And the hard part here is, and this is just a little tangent, I'm not going to go off on it, but especially guys, you know, when you talk to your wife or your girlfriend or partner, and you talk to her in a way in regular everyday life, like she's a bro or she's, you know, she doesn't matter, or you're just frustrated with her or him. It goes back and forth. It can go either way. You are not building trust for in the bedroom. You are disintegrating trust for the bedroom. How is somebody supposed to be open and vulnerable with their body and their mind to you to have these ultimate orgasmic experiences when they have to put walls up because you might hurt them?
Right.
That's all foreplay. That's the best parts to be working on all day long. Sex needs to be on the brain all the time. Not like a sex addict, not like the act of, you know, let's go in the grocery store aisle and tear one out in the bathroom or something like that. No, I'm talking about what are you doing to foster trust and intimacy and sexual authenticity in your relationship where each of you can show up raw, ready to blend souls in sex.
Mm-hmm.
It takes work.
Right.
So I came across this really, we've talked about Tantra before, you and me.
Mm-hmm.
I love Tantra. Love, love, love Tantra. But there's this sky dancing Tantra that's taught across the country. So Tantra, there's two different kinds. There's the mind transcendent Tantra that kind of believes that you don't really need sex.
Okay.
And then there's the Tantra that's all in your root chakra. So it's all about the sex. Mm-hmm. And then there's the sky dancing Tantra, which is the combining of both.
Oh, interesting.
And it's where you can go through it as an individual or you can go through it as a couple. And it helps you connect energetically through eye gazing, through breathing, through rocking and body movement, through appreciation, through just opening all the channels of energy in your body where you can hold your hands an inch apart from each other and feel each other's energy coursing through you.
Nice.
It tingles my clit just thinking about it. Just saying. So there's that. There's sky dancing Tantra. Then again, this takes a willing partner. And that's why I said at the beginning, even though this was about prostates for men, there's a lot of information here for women too, because the women have to be engaged in a lot of this stuff in order for there to be fulfillment as a sexual male. Men's identity is so much wrapped up in the idea of being able to perform or bring a woman the giving of their energy, the giving of their seed, the giving of their sword to your sheath, whatever, however you want to. That's what vagina means, is sheath. Mm-hmm. Sheath for the sword. So anyway, so I came across this other thing though, when I was researching and I was doing some, looking around for the sky dancing Tantra. Mm-hmm. Down in Central Africa, I love tribal music. I love the idea of tribe. I love researching some of the sociological stuff that happened around sex and tribes, like certain women in the tribe would be medicinal and they'd be like the witches. And then there'd be some women in the tribe who were the caregivers taking care of the children. And then there'd be the sluhahas, you know, the ones, the young prime ones who would leave their tents open for as many men that would come and visit her throughout a night as would happen.
Okay.
I mean, there's just this openness, this idea of community and the idea that sex has purpose so that the men could have a release and then they go out and conquer the world, or they plant their seed and they bring forth children for the tribe to keep the tribe alive. You know, it's just this community thing. But one of the practices in Central Africa is this thing called Kunyaza, Kunyaza. And this is not penetration. This is simply a man taking his cock, whether it is flaccid or erect, and doing rhythmic taps, strikes to the clit on the woman. So just kind of having a rhythm. And then as the blood flow increases in the woman's pelvic region in the vulva, then he starts rubbing and he just using the head of his penis to go in, up and down in long strokes. Mm-hmm. And then there's a going from left to right and then a zigzag pattern. And there's no insertion at all. Wow. And it supposedly drives women crazy. And the word itself, kanyaza, means to squirt.
Ah.
So this was to bring women to such enormous arousal that they can't control themselves and they're able to squirt.
Wow.
So that's another thing. I think about like the stripper slide, you know, when men go to lap dances in the, at the strip club or whatever, sometimes some states, and sometimes not legally, of course, they will, a stripper might mount a man and just slide on his cock back and forth. And that's called a stripper slide. And there's no penetration, but they both end up getting off. So, I mean, it's a pretty similar idea, except this is much more, it's about the rhythm. It's about like driving her crazy, whatever. So there's that.
And we know that, and I don't remember the percentages off the top of my head right now, but we know that it's a pretty solid majority of women don't get off from penis vagina sex.
Only 25% have, only 25% of women report having orgasms through penis vagina sex penetration. Right.
So, and that's one of the thing that, yeah, that, that they need to also teach in school.
Yeah, so that we don't feel like we're broken or we're not normal.
Right, right. Right. And I have certainly heard of stories of women who have had, you know, sex all of their life and never had an orgasm. And
I didn't have one until after I was 40.
So, yeah, it's the whole, if you think that's the way it is and nobody's paying attention, because if the guy's education is, hey, you get it in there and you... and you get off.
You do the deed. Everybody's
off, good.
And that was it. Wow.
Right.
Yay.
Yes.
We did it. We had sex.
Right. Right. And definitionally, that works, right, for old mm-hmm. definitions of sex. So, again, a lot of these things, these broken things, are things we have been really taught. And so to come out and to do a new thing and move up with what's possible, yeah, I think even the Pope has changed some of the language and the meanings and things like that too, to kind of
Pope Francis. I really like him a lot. he's an interesting guy. The other thing that I just wanted to bring up is that you can have sex with your clothes on.
Mm-hmm.
Think back to being perhaps a teenager and just doing petting or rubbing. I remember once just kind of like being in my jeans or something and having somebody with his hand in my crotch and just kind of like how intense that was. I didn't have an orgasm at the time, but it was like wild. And then you could go to a cuddling party. I mean, not for the sake of having an orgasm, but if you really need some intimacy, if you need to be really close with somebody, cuddle parties are great. It's good. It would be good foreplay. You could go as a couple to a cuddling party, cuddle with people, go home, have all the endorphins going and stuff like that. And that might help you to relax into just being, you know, the touch, just the physical touch is so important.
Well, and so many people are missing that. They're, you know, they're missing, we get so little touch compared to so many, again, other cultures that it's, it, and so many people, that's the only way they get touch is through sex, right?
Yep. Yep.
So it really skews when we talk about affection, and I mean, that's a whole nother subject, but when we talk about affection and, you know, people not allowing teachers to hug kids and all of this stuff, it's like that's a cultural problem. That is because, to me, I think part of it is because so many people only associate touch with sex mm-hmm. that it skews it for everybody,
right?
You know, so people hear about cuddle parties and they're like, that's disgusting,
right?
It's like, well, no, wait a minute, it's just it's an answer to a problem that we have in a culture where I don't remember. I did a podcast on my other podcast with a woman who talked about the touches that they get like in Italy, just in sitting in a coffee shop compared to American coffee shops. Yeah. Like it's like, you know, one touch per couple hours to their like 75 to, you know.
Right. Oh, I read that. Yes. Or maybe I listened to the podcast. Yeah. That was really interesting. And okay. So I'm talking about when I talk about cuddle parties, I'm talking about the cutesy, intimate, soft kind of touch. Then there's also dun, 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 pain. We had to know this was going to come
right. Out. Well, hey, you know, covering right. The whole spectrum here.
Milking the prostate is that's a little kinky because you're putting something someplace where we're told is not supposed to be okay or whatever. Oh yes, and ladies, if you're listening, you may want to trim a fingernail or two.
I was going to say that.
No problem.
And using your middle finger is longer,
right?
Therefore, it's sometimes a better reach to use.
Right, it's your first finger. So I mean, they recommend that you use your first and second finger. So your middle finger and your finger closest to your thumb.
And your pointy finger?
Right. So then when you do that come hither movement, you can see that there's, you know, the first finger kind of equals out with the middle finger when it bends. There's something about that that makes it a nice, steady, regular movement that can get a guy off. So I don't know.
Rhythmic is a good thing too.
Yeah.
That would be a rhythmic movement.
Yeah. You're not going in there digging for something, but you know, you're stroking it. Maybe you're thinking about a song in your head or there's a song playing, you set the mood, whatever. Do a rhythm that matches something that you're keeping going with and stay with it. Don't just stop because he'll come, but it'll take him a little longer, you know? So, but the pain part, now this is where it gets interesting because pain travels different nerve receptors than pleasure. So if you incite pain in some areas, it's the fine line between pain and pleasure, just like the fine line between love and hate. It's one of those things where if done properly, pain can bring intense sensation and therefore bring orgasm. And I'm talking about something like as simple as if you have fingernails, using your fingernails on the scrotum, like using them underneath the scrotum to bring sensation, dragging them up the perineum, using your nails as a stimulator there.
And start very gently.
Yeah. Well, again, communication's really important. Right. And if he can't handle that, you'll know pretty quickly. If you're in intense pain, if there's blood in your urine, if you're running a fever, you know, any of those kind of telltale signs, of course you should go to the doctor and you should probably refrain from doing anything outside of your normal activity within toleration. Obviously, we want you to be safe. We want you to be under the supervision of your medical provider, whoever that happens to be. But these are all just some suggestions around prostate dysfunction, around erectile dysfunction that can really be helpful.
One more thing I want to toss in there just because we were having the medical discussion earlier and the lack of clarity about what sex means. If your doctor tells you to not have sex or ask some questions about that, what does that mean to the doctor? Does that mean no penis vagina sex? Does that mean, you know, if you're a woman, does that mean nothing can be inserted? Does that mean what's the concern, right? And can you still have an orgasm without something inside? you know, and if you're a guy, you know, what does it mean? Can she, can you or your partner or whoever use their hands and, but not their mouth or not the vagina? Or, you know, if you've got a heart condition, maybe it doesn't even matter, right? It's just the orgasm that's going to kill you. So
it's not usually the orgasm. It's what happens after the orgasm. Immediately after the orgasm, like they pass out and knock their head on something or whatever. So, or they pop a Viagra because they think that that's going to, you know, it's going to help them perform with ED, and then it drops their blood pressure, or it makes their blood pressure, or it makes their heart rate go really fast. So These are all very good things to discuss with your doctor. And believe me, doctors hear this stuff all the time. This is a huge issue right now, especially with the baby boomer generation aging. None of this is off the table conversation to have with a doctor.
And if it is,
normal.
If it is, find another doctor and find somebody to talk to, because I occasionally still hear stories from people who bring up sexual subjects and the doctor doesn't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
And that in my mind is horrible, because it's denying that that is a part of life. It wasn't that long ago that I heard somebody who brought something up to their doctor, and the doctor basically said, I don't talk about that. I mean, and there was no room for discussion. And I like, wow, you can still, like, I'm sorry, but if that's not a part you can handle, you better dang well have a resource.
Yeah.
And I don't know, she didn't inquire, in my memory of her story, she didn't inquire why that was, but just it was very much, nope, we're not going there, and that's not okay. And that's a huge problem. I mean, that's a huge problem, and sometimes those things don't get asked, proper questions don't get asked, or there's a lot of assumptions made about your sexual activity because you're married, because you're single, because you're whatever, too, that are interesting as well, that should be able to be brought up with a doctor, and if not that doctor, find somebody that will.
Yeah, I totally agree. Very, very good point. Very good point. Because what? Sex matters, right?
Absolutely.
Sex matters period.
Period. Yep.
What are you going to say? What are you going to do? It just matters that much. Right. So.
All right. Well, that's fantastic. I mean, that's a lot of information and a lot of really good thoughts. Even if you're not dealing with prostate stuff, there's a lot going on there that can be helpful. And of course, too, you are a great resource if somebody needs some coaching or figuring out, you know, we've hit this impasse, or gosh, I don't know how to help my partner, or whatever the case might be. So yeah, awesome.
Yeah, I'm happy to help with overcoming obstacles, with transformations in your life, going from one stage to another stage. Dealing with lots of different life. Sex is in every part of our life, no matter what. So, and I can identify it rather quickly and then help you to integrate it in a way that is authentic to you and your values. Yeah.
Well, till next time.
Till next time. Adios. Thank
Bye.
You. Bye.
Thanks for listening. You can find us at sexmatterspodcast.com, or you can ask a question, get on our email list, so whenever we put out a new episode, you are one of the first to know. Leave a review. You can also subscribe on iTunes and leave a review and a rating there. We would greatly appreciate that. And of course, you are invited to interact on the Facebook posts as well as on the podcast website on the show webpage. It's probably worth mentioning that we do pay attention to the comments that go on the show notes, and we make sure that they are legit people. And I just want to call attention to one that is on our prostate part one episode. And I only mention this because the comment is legit, and I know the person, and I know their integrity, and I know their work personally. Cookie Killian, the person who left a note, you can see it right there. She's a manual therapist, and she has a therapy that happens to have really good results for people with prostate issues. So if that is something you need support with, go and check it out. If you'd like to connect with Patricia and work with her individually or her web classes and see what she's got going on, you can find her at thepowerexchange.co. She's also on Facebook at The Power Exchange, and her book, actual book, is called Crossing the River Called Suffering, and you can find that on Amazon and get to it right through our affiliate program on the website. Connect with me and my weekly health and wellness podcast at wellnessrenpodcast.com or on iTunes. Wellness Renaissance is also on Facebook as well. As I say, till next time, I will leave you with a thought-provoking quote. I don't know who said it, but the quote is, "The conversation between your fingers and someone else's skin is the most important discussion you can ever have." See you next week.